Man didn't come up with the church. Now, the church has had some problems, and you know, in the past and in the present, where things have not gone right. But it is an institution that God ordained, that God put into place. It's a relationship. It's a relationship much like your marriage. And you remember, you know, in the early season when you were dating, and everything your partner did was just cute. Oh, look at that. That is so cute. You remember that? Oh, that is so cute. And my wife did that. Oh, look at that. Look at the way he belches. That's just so cute. Everything was cute. And so you tolerated a lot of things. Why? Because you were in a relationship with that person. In a church, there's a commitment. There's a relationship. And there should be that commitment to the relationship. Guys, there's so much to do, and as the body of Christ, we can accomplish so much as we're working together.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. David is the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. One of David's associate pastors is Pastor D.A. Brown. Welcome, D.A., to the program today.
Hey, Bob. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited about this teaching. It reminds us that the more we follow Jesus, the more we realize we need to be in fellowship with others. In fact, a mature believer should be committed to a local church. Pastor David's going to tell us about that today.
That's awesome. So let's go to David McGee with his teaching, The God of the Word.
We've been in John chapter 5, and verse 35 says, and it's speaking of John the Baptist here, says, he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Now, there's kind of a hidden accusation in here if you look at this. It says you were willing for a time. In the King James, it says for a season to rejoice in his light. Now, this is interesting because what happened was they were not committed to the ministry of John the Baptist. They were not submitted to his ministry, if you will. So what happened is the first time he began to offend them, they were out of there. The first thing that he said that they didn't like, they left. I don't know about that repentance thing. I'm a Pharisee. And they left. And there's a real lesson in there, I believe, for us. Because how many of us treat church like that? Oh, yeah, man, I'm with you. Oh, Pastor Dave, I'm praying for you. I'm behind you. And, boy, I love this place. And, you know, and I look around a few weeks later, they're gone, man. It's like, what happened? And then somebody will tell me, well, they got offended that you said Jesus is the only way to heaven or something like that. And it breaks my heart. It's a sad thing. Not necessarily that they left, but the reason they left. They got offended with the truth. You see, God tried to confront their life and an issue in their life, and rather respond to that, rather than do that, they decided to run from that issue. And see, the thing is, I know where they're running. They're running into trouble. And I've seen it. Guys, I've seen it time and time again. Guys, you can't run from the truth. And it's when. It's not if I ever say anything that challenges you. If you sit in here and you're never challenged, man, I've not done my job well. Because the Word of God is a challenging thing. And as we dig into it, you'll see things and you go, my goodness, I'm not living like that. My goodness, I'm doing those things he's saying not to do, or the Word of God is saying not to do. And so it's important to make a commitment. Do you really think that your adversary, the enemy of your soul, wants you in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church? No way. He doesn't want you in something like that. Now, you can go out here to Flake City, and he's perfectly happy you're there. You can go to somewhere that's not teaching the Word of God, and man, he'll actually leave you alone because you're not getting fed. But when you're getting fed and you're in a Bible-teaching church, if he can get you out for any reason whatsoever, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Now, I understand, you know, if I start teaching heresy, if I quit teaching the Bible, then certainly you need to leave. How often do you hear that from a pulpit? But seriously, something's gone horribly wrong. But any other reason than that, you need to get plugged in and you need to be committed, which is a word we run short on these days. First life lesson is the mature believer should be committed to a local church. See, you make that commitment before you get challenged. Why? Because if you get challenged before you've made that commitment, I tell you what might happen is you might leave. And guys, man didn't come up with the church. Now, the church has had some problems, and you know, in the past and in the present, where things have not gone right. But it is an institution that God ordained, that God put into place. And so it's a relationship. It's a relationship much like your marriage. And if you remember, you know, in the early season when you were dating and you know, just everything your partner did was just cute. Oh, look at that. That is so cute. You remember that? I mean, I did, oh, that is so cute. And my wife did that. Oh, look at the way he belches. That's just so cute. Everything was cute. And so you tolerated a lot of things. Why? Because you were in a relationship with that person. See, in a church, there's a commitment, there's a relationship. And there should be that commitment to the relationship. And because, guys, there's so much to do, and as the body of Christ, we can accomplish so much as we're working together. We're so blessed here. We have, and I haven't ran the numbers in a little while, but we have, I think, about a third of the people that come to this fellowship are serving in a ministry. If you've been around churches for very long, that should amaze you. You know why? Because that's not the tendency. The tendency is you've got about 5% of the church actually plugged in, serving, and doing the work of the ministry. Now, part of it, I believe, is that there's a commitment there, and they're being fed the Word of God, and they're pouring out of an overflow, if you will. But again, I would, you know, prayerfully consider this may not be the church for you. I would like to think it is. I would encourage you to pray whether it is or not. And then once you hear from the Lord, that you get plugged in and there's a commitment there. There's a commitment there. Verse 36, but I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Jesus did miracles. Jesus did miracles. Now, the people of that day didn't doubt it. The writers of the Gospels didn't doubt that Jesus did miracles. But do you realize the large percentage of seminaries and Bible colleges and universities actually now, the larger percentage of them say that Jesus actually didn't do any miracles? They doubt the virgin birth. They doubt his literal death upon the cross. How tragic it is. It's important to remember that Jesus did miracles, and let's bring it into the future. Jesus does miracles. Oh, I get a little flustered when people go, oh, yeah, God used to do miracles. He used to heal people. He used to do this. Wait a minute. And don't miss this. God still heals people. You can't show me in this book a single verse that says, well, God used to act like that, but he doesn't act like that anymore. It's not in there. And as far as miracles, man, you know, taking our lives and changing them into something that's useful for the kingdom of God, that's the greatest miracle there is. Taking somebody like me that was this Gentile heathen dog and converting him and having him serve the Lord. Man, what a miracle. What a miracle. And if your life has been changed and you're in here this morning, you're a miracle. Isn't that awesome? God's done a miracle in your life. Say amen if you're a miracle. Oh, praise God, the room's full of miracles. Isn't that awesome? You want to see a miracle? Just meet somebody and say, hey, what'd you used to be? I used to be a pagan, heathen, Gentile dog worshiping idols. And you know, and get their testimony. I mean, it's exciting to me to hear all that God is doing in people's lives. Now, you know, what's interesting is the reason they rejected Jesus is because he wasn't doing the miracles they wanted to see. See, they wanted to see the miracle of Jesus coming in and delivering them from the oppression of Rome. That's what they wanted to see. This is the miracle we want. You do this one, we're behind you. Be careful. Be careful. And how many times do we approach the Lord like that? Well, Lord, I want to see this. I want to see that. Meanwhile, we don't recognize how he's changed our lives and the lives of people around us. You know, Jesus was performing miracles of compassion and miracles of healing and miracles of changing people's lives. Verse 37, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me, and you have neither heard his voice in any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent you do not believe. Your attention, please. Notice Jesus is not accusing them of not having the scriptures. He's not accusing them of not necessarily reading the scriptures. He's accusing them of not having them abiding in their life. Is his word abiding in you? I can promise you that Sunday morning, Thursday night, I'll give you scriptures. I'll read this book to you. I mean, if you're not in this book at any other time during the week, you'll show up. I'll read it to you. It shouldn't be the only time you're in the book, though, guys. But the question is it in here? Do maybe you, on Sunday morning, jot down a few things as the Lord speaks to you? Maybe underline a scripture or highlight or jot down the life lesson and go, you know what, that's really speaking to me. I need to apply that because I need to make those changes. And the Lord's speaking to me about that. Are you acting out what you already know? See, here's the thing. As I continue to teach you, as God's Spirit and God's Word continues to pour into you, you're more and more accountable for that. Why? Because God is teaching you, and those that He pours into, there's more accountability. It's a scriptural principle throughout the Bible. And it will not return void. It will accomplish that which it was sent to do. And I would encourage you not to fight against that, to let the Word of God have its way in your life. The Lord sent me here. Lord raised me up, this work up, from a home Bible study to this morning. And why did He do that? He sent me to speak the truth, to tell you the truth, to share His Word with you so that you might have His Word abiding in you. I've met some people who have a vast, deep knowledge of Scripture, but are living very ungodly lives. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. And when we were in Vegas, there was a guy, they call him Smutters. They hand out smut on the Las Vegas. We were there for ministry. In case you're wondering, what's he doing? I'm reinvesting church funds. No, I'm kidding. We were there, it was a few years ago, before the church started. We were there ministering, and we were walking down the strip, and one of these smutters they were handing out, it's horrible. I mean, they're basically catalogs of women. And this particular guy actually had his degree in theology. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And is that word having its way in your life? And again, as I speak truth to your life, as the Bible speaks truth to your life, you have to make a decision to receive that truth or to reject that truth. Paul, speaking to the Galatians, he asked him, he said, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? What an interesting question. And sometimes when I'm speaking to somebody and I'm counseling or discipling them, and I speak the truth, sometimes they get upset. And sometimes that emotional content keeps them from receiving the truth. And I would just encourage you guys, don't fall into that trap. And let the Word of God abide in you and direct you in your life.
We'll be right back with more from David McGee on Cross the Bridge. Right now, here's a word from Associate Pastor D.A. Brown.
Hey, Bob, we're excited about God's Word going forth, and we want to pray for some listeners in these cities. Susanville, California, Talmadge, Truckee, Victorville, Westwood, Yankee Hill, and Yreka, California. God, we pray for the people listening in these cities today and the surrounding areas. We pray that they would put their trust and hope in You, that they would be encouraged in how much You love them, and Lord, that they would look for other people who You place in their life to share this good news with as well. And God, that they would get plugged into a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And now, let's get back to David McGee as he continues teaching verse by verse.
In verse 39, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of Me. Now, I've heard some people really twist this passage and say, well, you know, Jesus is saying there that we can overvalue Scripture. That's not what He's saying at all. What He is saying is these guys knew the Word, the Pharisees. They knew the Bible, but they didn't know Jesus. See, it's awesome to know the Word of God, and we should all know the Word of God. But if you don't know the God of the Word, then you're going to fall far short. And again, I know people who know the Word of God, but they don't know the God of the Word. And it's important that you have that relationship with Him, and that's the next life lesson. We need to know the Word of God, and we also need to know the God of the Word. Isn't it amazing? You remember reading the Bible, you know, perhaps before you became a believer when you were young, or in your teenage years, or maybe in your older years, and you weren't saved yet, and you read it, and you're like, what is that? I don't get that. I don't understand that. And then after you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins, you picked it up and you go like, man, I never saw, this is great. I never saw this stuff in here. That's the Spirit of God revealing the Word of God to you. So it's important to know God and to know God's Word. If you love Jesus, you should love your Bible. And if you love your Bible, you should love Jesus. And to me, I'll be honest with you, this is the real litmus test of a church. Are they a Bible teaching church? I don't mean, you know, and I'm trying to explain what we do here. Sometimes it's interesting because I'll say, you know, we teach the Word of God. Oh, yeah, we teach the Word of God. Everybody teaches the Word of God. And my question is, well, how do you teach it? Well, you know, a little bit there, a little bit here. One verse there, one verse there. And I challenge people and I say, well, you're not teaching the Word of God. You're teaching out of the Word of God. You're figuring out a sermon topic. You're getting other verses to kind of back up that topic. And you're teaching out of the Word of God. You're not teaching the Word of God. And then they seem confounded when they say, well, what do you do? And I say, well, we're going from Genesis to Revelation. Verse by verse. We're not leaving anything out. We're not skipping anything. We're in the New Testament on Sunday morning. We're in the Hebrew Scriptures on Thursday night. Verse by verse. There's some stuff in Deuteronomy I probably would have wanted to skip over. But, you know, I mean, it was still good stuff in there. And it's powerful. It's the Word of God. You know, last week, we're in Deuteronomy 28. A guy comes up and he goes, man, I just want to let you know I got saved Thursday night in Deuteronomy 28. Praise God, man. That is the Word of God accomplishing that which it was sent forth to accomplish. And it's an amazing thing. And so as you read the Bible, make sure that your Bible's reading you. As you read it and you go, oh, boy, that speaks to that. Isn't it amazing how the Word of God does that? You can have something going on. You pick up your Bible, you start to read, and you go, oh, my goodness, you know. Especially maybe after you've had an argument with somebody or something, and you know, and you try to get spiritual. I'm going to read the Bible. And then, you know, you read it and go, oh, go repent. Bam. You don't get that from any other book. This is a supernatural book. And when you proclaim it, stuff happens. You know, so many people have come to me and said, you know, I didn't know how starving I was for the Word of God till I showed up here and actually heard you going verse by verse. And I've grown so much since I've been here. Guys, do you know why that is? It's because we're focused on the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. It's not that I'm just, you know, just this awesome teacher and you've never heard some of this stuff before. Some of you have heard it before, but it's being reinforced. And the power of God is with His Word. And that's what's changing lives and bringing people to salvation here. Because I want to stand before the Lord as Paul stood in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 27. He said, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Now, there's only one way I can say that. There's only one way I can declare that. That's if I am teaching the whole counsel of God. It's important that you be in the Word of God. Because, you know, you understand Jesus is in the Word of God? If you've been here on a Thursday night, some of you have emailed me and called me and said, man, I'm shocked. I never saw Jesus so much in the book of Deuteronomy. It's an amazing thing as you teach the book of Deuteronomy. I didn't know this was in there. Praise God, Jesus is on every page of the book. It's amazing some of the stuff you see when you begin to be open to the supernatural power of the Word of God and how Jesus is so in the book. It says, Do you search the Scriptures? Get to know your Bible. Get to know Jesus. Because as you get to know the Word of God, you'll get to know the God of the Word. And as a little additional motivation, realize something. If you know Jesus in here and you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins, you're going to heaven. Praise God. Isn't that good news? Praise God. We're going to heaven. You know who's going to be in heaven? All the guys who wrote these books in the Bible. So at some point in your life, you'll have an exchange where you go and hi, how you doing? Good to see you in heaven. Oh, good to be here in heaven. Well, you know, what's your name? My name's David. What's your name? Oh, my name's Micah. Oh, nice to meet you, Micah. Oh, yeah. Now, did you read my book? What book? What is your, Micah, you wrote a book about rocks or something? I mean, what, you know, what did you write a book about? I wrote a book of the Bible. Oh, come on. You didn't write no book of the Bible. There ain't no Micah in the Bible. Come on, man. Everybody knows there's no Micah in the Bible. And perhaps somebody hands you a Bible and you go, oh, my goodness, Micah. You know, I really love that book. I just forgot that you wrote it. Guys, you're going to have that exchange one day. And if you haven't read the book, that's going to be really clumsy, to say the least. Not to mention that, you know, the Lord's going to aid. Did you read the book? I read part of it. You read part of it? Yeah. I didn't have a lot of time down there. I only had like 84 and a half years, and I just couldn't get through that one book. Well, you read Gone with the Wind 13 times. Well, yeah, I know, but you know we're gonna have that exchange. I want to say, yeah, I read the book, I studied it. Man, I loved every word of it. There's a love for this word. There's a passion for the word. You know what they do when they're teaching the young Jewish children the letters of the Hebrew alphabet? And when they're teaching them the passages, they connect the letters with verses. And then what they do is they have these pieces of paper that has verses on them. And then when they're young kids, they place honey on the piece of paper. And so the kids lick the honey as they're learning the verse. And they begin to equate the sweetness with the word of God. See, that's what we need to do, guys, to attach a sweetness with the word of God. And realize you're gonna meet Micah and Amos and all Obadiah and all these guys in heaven one day. So I want to encourage you in that. Verse 40, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Man, what a tragic verse. What a tragic verse. You are not willing to come to me that you may have life. They came, but they came with excuses. And we can't follow you because of this. We don't like this about you. We don't like that about you. And so we can't receive from you. Reminds us of the man earlier in John chapter 5, how Jesus said, you want to be healed? I can't be healed. Nobody's here to put me in a pool. He begins to tell him excuses. And the tragedy of this statement, it's not that you can't come, but that many are not willing to come. What a tragic statement that Jesus says to us this morning. You're not willing to come. There's people here right now listening that aren't willing to come to him. And how sad that is. There's people that are listening on the radio or perhaps listening on the internet. They're not coming to Jesus because they won't. They're not willing to come to him. Oh, he's willing to accept them. He's willing to forgive them. But they're not willing to come to him. Do you come to Jesus? I mean, do you come to him often? Or do you fill your life with everything else? You fill your life with this, that, and the other, or do you come to Jesus? Do you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I come to you again this morning and spend time with him? Or are you not willing to come to him? Don't be so easily amused with the things of this life. Don't be so easily satisfied with the things of this life. Don't sell yourself that cheap for just your career or money or prestige or these things. Don't sell yourself that cheap. That's not what life is about. If you haven't already discovered that, those things will leave you empty and dissatisfied. But come to Jesus, not just once in your lifetime, but every day of your life. Verse 41, I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. You know, as you look at this exchange and other exchange, it's interesting to read editorial pages or talk to people who don't really know the Bible and they don't know the Jesus of the Bible. And they'll say things like, well, Jesus would never say anything. Anybody ever did anything wrong? Well, Jesus would never tell somebody they were in sin. Well, Jesus would never tell anybody they weren't going to heaven. What book are they reading? Because this is fairly confrontational, isn't it? You do not have the love of God in you. Well, what happened to just, let's all just get along kind of Christianity? It's not in there. Jesus loved people enough to tell them the truth. And he knew that at some points, he probably knew this was going to offend them. He didn't water it down or make it, well, you know, if we mix a little candy in there, it'll be easy for them to swallow. No, he said, I got to speak the truth. I love them enough. I care enough for them to tell them the truth. That may happen in here. You may hear something from up here and you go, oh, can't believe that. If it's the truth, and my sincere prayer is everything that comes from this pulpit's based on the word of God, and I take that very seriously. If it's the truth, perhaps you need to rethink that area of your life. Because if you sit still long enough to receive the word of God, to receive the teaching from the word of God, it may even change your life.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe You died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe You were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for You all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Or you can write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Well, D.A., before we go, what are some ways that we can bless our listeners?
Each day, you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional, life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
That sounds good, Pastor D.A., and again, it's been great to have you with us on the program today. But tell us, what else can our listeners find on crossthebridge.com?
If you're not able to make it to your home church this Sunday, why not join us for our live stream at 10 a.m. Eastern Time or on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time? Just visit crossthebridge.com and click on our live stream link. There, you will experience a live service from David's home church, The Bridge, in North Carolina. Again, that website is crossthebridge.com.
Thanks again for listening, and join us next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse in the Gospel of John.